everyone. This is Heather Markell, and welcome to another episode of The Inspired Nomads. As you hopefully know by now, my intention with this video series is to inspire those of you that are mid-career or after, not quite retired or nowhere near retirement, living in a life that you know you don't want to live and you would love to go travel the world or do something that you are really passionate about, but you're sitting there in your chair at your desk thinking that you can't. I bring you wonderful people from around the globe who, like me, left something stable. Income, a stable life, all different things, who are on the road doing exciting things, and we share our stories and how we're doing it, how we're affording it. And tonight is going to be a really fun interview because I have Dot Becker here. As you can see, she is surrounded by a very interesting background, which she's going to explain to us. Dot, where are you right now?
Right now, I'm always in my van. Because my van is my home and my life, and but I'm in Harare in Zimbabwe, so that is in this country that's just over here.
I love it. Yep.
And that's I was born in a little bit southwest of there, which is Bulawayo, but I'm currently in the capital city.
Cool. And I am coming to you from Johannesburg, South Africa. So we are on the same time zone and the same continent. Yes, thank you for pointing out where that is.
So, about 10 hours or so driving or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and probably more. No, probably more because I'm further north. Usually to Bulawayo, it's about 10 hours driving. So, yeah, probably about 17 hours driving.
Yeah, yeah, and actually, probably accurate. I'm wearing, as we discussed before, my my Big Five shirt from my safari through Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe. I was just in Zimbabwe, so it was a very long 20-day trip and lots of driving. So that's pretty far. I think the back of my shirt says exactly how many kilometers. But anyway.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So. So, Dot, tell us a little bit about the stable life that you had and what went on, why you left, and your story.
Whew, just like that.
Just like that.
Okay. I have lived in various countries. So, I lived in South Africa, the UK, Portugal, Luxembourg, and Spain. But for the last 20 years, I've been living in Europe, and I had been in a marriage for 22 years, which was increasingly unhappy. He was unhappy. I was unhappy. I was getting increasingly unhappy, and I just couldn't take it anymore. So I was 58, and I just couldn't see myself doing this for another 20 years. And I thought, if I don't change something now, I'm never going to change anything.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I left reasonably amicably, and I didn't have much with me. I left pretty much almost everything I had behind. I took 30 boxes of plastic crates of my personal stuff with me, and I had very, very little. I had less than 500 euros. And I went to friends, and I lived with friends and family for pretty much 2 years, which sounds like a terrible thing to do. And in my previous existence, in a previous life, in this previous life, I would have found that a terrible, horrifying thing to do.
Yeah.
But I realized that I had nowhere to go, and I needed help. And I walked out of my old life, and I just went, okay, universe, now you just work this out, because I don't know how to work it out. And people were immensely kind, and continue to be immensely kind to me. I don't know how or why.
Yeah.
It's miraculous. It's really miraculous. So that's what I did. I left. I bought my van, and I decided that I wanted to go home and I wanted to drive.
Beautiful. So let's go back to the before life. I mean, did you live in a house and have stuff? Like, what was that living like?
We lived in a rented apartment, in Luxembourg. I was living in Luxembourg. It's immensely expensive, and it was very a beautiful, very pleasant apartment, and a very normal life. I had friends, and just an ordinary life with furniture and TV, and you know, the fridge, the stove, the blah blah blah, the computer, the desk, the bed, the sofa. Everything that you could possibly want in a household. But that was it. You know, at the end of the day, I now live in 3 meters by 1.8, and I am happier than I've ever been. happier than I've been for a very long time.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So for people listening that are sort of freaking out about this, like, I know I want this, but I couldn't possibly give all this up. What did you have to go through, if you remember, at the beginning? You have the comfort of an apartment, of a fixed home and stuff in it and a real life, and you've traded it for, you know, something that makes you actually happier, but probably in the transition sounded like really scary. So I don't know if you could say anything about that.
What did it feel like? I guess. Over the years, I've come to understand that, you know, anything I have, I'm not taking with me. You know, when it's over, it's over. The stuff remains behind, I'm gone. And the stuff holding me in a place that I don't want to be just seemed ridiculous. And so I didn't let go of everything. I still have 20 boxes of very personal things that are in storage in Barcelona. And then anything else that I want or need is in my van. And it was relatively simple to let things go. Simply because I chose life over things.
Yeah.
I wanted a different life. I wanted a better life. And I just felt that, you know, later down the line, maybe I can replace those things. Or maybe I never replace those things. You know, if I never replace a TV, no loss to me.
Yeah.
And if I never have a house, well, you know, if I have a cabin or something, or I stay in my van, I don't really care. You know, I love my van. It is exactly what I want, exactly how I need it. And,
Yeah.
And I'm in Africa, so I have a better outdoor life than I do an indoor life, you know, but I let it go. I had to let it go. It was either choose the stuff or choose a life. And for me, that decision was, I want a life. I'd been so unhappy for so long, and I wanted a life.
That was beautifully said. You'll see that when I edit this video, it's going to be a little inspiration tip at the bottom. That was beautiful. You had to choose between stuff and life, and you chose a life. I mean, yeah. And I think a lot of us are having that experience, and it, you know, more and more, it's like, I did a talk recently where my takeaway from all of this is that, you know, we're so conditioned by society that to perpetuate a working economy, that we need all this stuff. And so I found it very weird that in releasing a lot of the stuff and a lot of the stability, how is it that we're happier if in fact the stuff was supposed to make us happier? Like,
I have a very simple thing that I'm a coach. So I mainly focus on business, but I use this quite a lot, is when you think about everything you possess having a string, a very, you know, a thread attached to you.
Yeah.
How much are you carrying around with you? Because the weight of that is enormous.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we clear out the cupboard or we clear out our home, we go, whew, I feel so much lighter. I feel so good. It's because you cut all those threads off you, and you feel literally lighter.
Yeah.
So for me, I often say to people, just think about every single thing that you possess and own. Every single little thing has a thread that's attached to you. and just conceive and perceive how much that weighs.
Wow.
And then decide, you know, if you're happy with that weight, oh, terrific, wonderful. You know, who's to say that this is better than that, you know?
Right.
But if you're not, if you want to be lighter and freer and have a life, a different life, then you really need to have to let go of some stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's people as well as things, you know?
Yes. That's a hard one. And I've talked about that also with a few of our other guests. Have you found that, unfortunately, with what comes with a life of, that we, you know, when you follow the conditioning, you are surrounded by other people that believe in that conditioning. When you break out of that conditioning, it can be either scary for other people to accept, or I think some people are, you know, they had a dream, they decided not to go live it, and they sort of need you either to fail or not to see your success because it makes them feel bad. I don't know. What's been your experience with that?
I guess that over the last few years, I've been doing a lot of me work, and I've been letting go of those people who really aren't interested in my success as much as I'm interested in their success.
Yeah.
So letting go of those people and letting them move on and not be in my space has been an important part of where I am today.
Yeah.
Because I did a lot of, I realized I had self-confidence and I had self-esteem, both things that I'd worked on for many years. I mean, I'm 60. I should have got this stuff before now, but anyhow, never too late.
Never too late.
And what I didn't have was self-worth. I kept attracting the wrong crazy people into my life, and I just couldn't figure out why. And I realized it was that people were treating me the way that I believed my own worth was, you know, so not very good. Okay. And as I started to realize that I needed to be full, I needed to value myself, I needed to understand my own personal self-worth, I started to let go of people who were not worthy. Mm. Not worthy for me, and not bringing any worth to me in terms of just, you know, thinking that I was a good person. So I let those people go, and things improved dramatically for me. And now I have the most amazing people in my life. I mean, I have people who are kind to me. They don't even know me.
Yeah. Yes.
They park in their driveway and they feed me, and it's just incredible. You know, I've just been so blessed. This is just, it's miraculous.
Yeah. So just to make the point for any of you listening, you know, this is really intriguing for me. So if you're someone that's just like, oh, I want to do this, but it just sounds too scary. What you're hearing, right, is yes, you do have to give up a lot. You have to give up your current life to have a different life. And it sounds really scary. And yet the weird thing is that when you get rid of all of the stuff that's holding you like that string to your current life, and you trade it for the life that you know is going to make you happy, it's just odd because you have less stuff and you have less constrictions, and somehow your whole life is freer and more open. And yes, the shedding does unfortunately at times include people, but you end up in this place where you're just immensely happy, and you do. You're just, imagine being just completely surrounded by the people and the places and the things that you love, and that's it. And like not being weighed down by any of those other circumstances or, you know, events in life that just aren't serving you.
I'm not saying that, you know, everything is way easy peasy.
No.
I only meet wonderful people, but yeah. I do, when I meet people that I just go, not, you know, not for me, not, I don't want the stuff that you're bringing into my life. I'm clearer about that, and I don't have a lot of other stuff in the way of that. So no, it's not easy to let go of stuff because we have been conditioned to hang on to stuff.
Yeah.
But wow, you know, when you're prepared to let go of that, it's like a whole lot of other stuff, good stuff comes into your life. And it, you know, I have to say that that's just like 100 times better than some of the stuff that I was attracting into my life.
Yeah. And I think as a result of all of the, you give stuff up, you go change your life. I think we're all kind of pointing to this amazing self-awareness that comes in, and it just gets easier to sort of realize, yeah. You know, to connect with your own intuition. And some people just like, dislike, it doesn't matter. You just know very quickly, these aren't the right people for me right now. New people, right? And other people are like, oh my God, I just met you. And we are like, you know, soulmates, not on a romantic level. I'm just saying they're like, I've actually, in the past year, I've met people that I feel like are connected at the soul level, you know, and it's amazing.
I do want to say, you know, it's that old quotation that is attributed to Tony Robbins, but I don't think it is his quotation. And it's literally, if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. You cannot continue to live the life. If you want a different life, you have to do something differently.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You can't expect to do exactly the same thing and get a different result, because that's called insanity. You know, that's just like, you can't do the same thing and get a different result. So you have to change something, anything.
Yeah.
And maybe my change was pretty dramatic for a lot of people, but change something. You know, I believe, you know, I just did 20,000 kilometers through Africa, West and Central Africa, and it was a monstrous thing when I looked at it. It's an elephant. And what I learned to do, and I love elephants very much, so I wouldn't ever normally do this, but I learned to, what I call metaphorically, eat the elephant and take it things one bite at a time.
Yeah.
And that way you suddenly realize you've eaten a whole elephant, you know, and it's like, hey, I mean, I got to Botswana, which is next to Zimbabwe. And I was like, hey, I've done 20,000 kilometers and I'm almost home, and it's 8.5 months, but how did I do that? Cause that went really quickly, because I was just focused on doing one thing at a time, you know, just doing this and this, and then next thing and the next thing. And I was focused just on what I was doing. I knew my destination, but I just focused on what I needed to do. And so my advice to people is, don't try to eat the elephant. Don't go, you know, I'm a little bit radical in terms of changing my life, but it wasn't also everything all at the same time. It was pieces that, are, you know, that kind of fell into place. Take one thing that you can do and do that. You know, if you want to buy a van or you want to book a ticket, then, you know, do that. Do one thing that will change your life. You know, clean out your cupboards and check out all the clothes that you think you're someday going to wear, because you're not going to. So you don't have to throw everything away. Just, you know, the stuff that you haven't looked at or worn in 2 years, for heaven's sake, is you know, you're never going to, let's be honest. So don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, choose something and do something. If you want to change your life, start somewhere.
Yes, I love that. I want to back up to something that you mentioned earlier, which I think is also important. You know, I don't think it's an accident or coincidence, but all these amazing people that you're meeting, I mean, I think that's something, it's also something we all have in common. Like, I feel blessed too, just the caliber of people that I'm meeting and the kindness that I'm receiving, obviously not from everyone, but I mean, I'm bowled over at times by the generosity and kindness that I receive just from strangers that I might even just spend half a day with. So can you talk a little bit about your experiences with this kindness, what it's been like, how it happens, anything you want to say about that?
I've had all my life a very hard time asking for help. I, you know, it kind of runs in my family, and it's something on my mother's side, and I really have a hard time asking for help. And then I realized that I couldn't do it alone. I couldn't do it without help. And slowly but surely, I learned to ask for help, and I learned to ask for advice, and then I let go. I just let go. You know, I just said, okay, so, And I also learned to allow people to help me, to give me the gift of help.
Yes.
Because when somebody, you know, I started to realize that I love helping people, and it's great when they say thank you, but it also gives me something. And I realized that by turning people away and saying, oh, I can do it myself, and, you know, it's okay, I'm fine, you know. And I still do that sometimes because, you know, habits are hard to change. But by allowing people to help me, I realized that I was also giving them the gift of feeling good about themselves.
Oh, and lovely. Yeah.
It's then mean to say, no, I don't need your help because, you know, I can do it all myself. And you're kind of keeping all of that to yourself.
Yeah.
So it was a process. I'm not saying that it happened easily or overnight.
Yeah.
But when I let go, I have to say I have had the most incredible, amazing experiences. Just incredible.
Yeah.
I let go and I allow that to happen. But I balance out the cards because I also make an effort to be helpful. So I'm not just, you know, life has to be that flow of give and take.
Yes.
So I try to keep the checkbook, the karmic calendar, the whatever, in check and say, you know, I help people, I get help. And I don't do it for that specific purpose, but I know that when I'm helpful to other people, somehow stuff comes back to me.
Yep.
Always in great measure.
So you're sort of making me reflect on something, which is I do somehow feel like I'm receiving more kindness, amazing kindness, just since I've transitioned to this life. And it makes me wonder if, like you're saying, before, maybe I was so much more focused on what I was giving to people that I wasn't seeing what I was receiving. And somehow this life, I'm noticing it more. Is that, do you have that same experience?
There was also like a rejection of people giving me, you know, giving me anything that I was like, oh, you know, and that thing that we have that if people give us stuff, we're beholden. Yes, sometimes if people give us stuff because they have an expectation of something in return, then that is a beholding relationship. And I don't walk into those. But I, you know, if I say to somebody, would you allow me to park in your driveway? And they say, of course, come, you know, we've got a room for you. We've got a shower. And
yep.
I go, no, I'm happy with my van because it's got everything I want, but I'd love your shower. And they're like, no problem. You know, it's like, no, but, and I allow them to, you know, and I just feel, I don't feel bad or guilty about that anymore. You know, at first I was like, oh, you know, all the people are being so nice to me. I need, what am I doing for them? And I do always make sure that I, you know, give somebody a gift of some kind, you know, whether it's some flowers or a plant or, I don't take it for granted, but, you know, a hospitality, it's a great thing to give and it's a great thing to receive.
Yes. So how long now have you been on the road in your van?
Probably at least a year. And because before I hit the road and came into Africa, I was testing her and I was driving around Europe a bit. So yeah, about a year.
So, talking to people that might be, you know, listening to this interview and are wondering, well, how the hell are you affording it? And you keep going. I mean, one thing I'm hearing is amazing generosity. It just happens, right? You keep meeting people that want to give you that generosity. And part of it is learning that it's okay to accept that help and also not take it for granted. But any other things you're doing that help you afford the life that you're having?
I left with very little. I spent very little on my van. I built the inside. I bought a really good van for a very good price. And I didn't waste money. So I stayed in the cheapest places, sometimes the crappiest places.
Yeah.
I've just been very cautious and very careful with the money that I have. And fortunately, traveling through Africa, a lot of that was cheap. In Zimbabwe at the moment, we have hyperinflation. It's not very cheap. But I still earn a little bit of money from some clients that I have in Europe, which is and in a couple in Africa. So I get a little bit of money from that, and I still have some money for my journey. People made contributions to because the retire I had had to have quite a considerable repairs done in Namibia, and the donations covered the costs. I mean, who would have thought, you know, that people would be even keen or interested or want to? And yet, yeah, and I just, you know, it doesn't cost me to stay places or do anything, you know, so, sort of, it doesn't cost me a lot to live. And yeah. I don't eat, you know, royally. I eat simple foods and mostly vegetarian because I don't have a very cold fridge. So yeah, I keep my costs in check. I'm careful with the money that I have. And I need to write a book so that I can make some money. Everybody keeps telling me, so I definitely need to make the money. But I also, I've developed this complete and utter faith in the universe, that the divine, whatever you want to call it, that I just have absolute faith that whatever happens, the money will show up and stuff happens.
Yeah.
And I'll be okay. And that's a very hard thing to do. I know for a lot of people, they're probably listening to me going, like, yeah, sure. Because I would have been going, oh yeah, right. This woman is completely nuts. I would have been listening to myself and going, really? The universe is going to provide what? But I really did that. I have not wanted for anything, really. I mean, there have been times when I've been like, oh, how am I going to do this? You know, I had €5 at one stage when I was building my van. €5.
€5, you know. Wow. Okay.
And I was like, okay, so I have a little bit of food here, but I'm €5. I'm not, and I had no idea where the money was coming from. And then a client came and wanted something, and I that was it. Bing. Okay, so now I've got some more money.
Yeah.
If you just hang in there and you really believe and you let go of the need to stress about it and whatever have you, I don't know. I know everybody talks about attraction, and I've found that it's not about pulling it in, it's about letting it go. And then it's almost like you create the universe abhors a vacuum. So when you create the space by letting go, it's like the universe goes, oh, look, there's a space. I can fill it with other stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way it works for me. I can't account for it. I can't rationalize it. I can't tell you how. And I have borrowed some money. You know, I've also gone to the point where I've like, you know, when I was in Congo, I had a bad accident coming into Congo, and I needed some repairs done, and there wasn't time to wait for the universe. So I just phoned a friend and I said, please, can you lend me some money?
Yeah.
So I have to write the book so that I can pay her back. But, but there was a friend who would loan me the money.
Yeah.
You know, so go figure. Because I know the bank wouldn't, because there's no way a bank's going to loan me money.
Right.
I live in a van, for heaven's sake, you know. So, So, but I think my transition has been just about letting go.
I love that. So, you know, again, for those of you listening, you're also hearing when you do transition a life to this new life, you just don't have the same need. So if you're in an expensive apartment now with lots of stuff and you downsize, I mean, you just, if you imagine now that you're spending, you know, I don't know, if you're in a big city, you might be spending several thousand dollars a month, you might downsize and make it several hundred dollars a month. You just, when you move to new locations that are less expensive and you live in a completely different manner, your needs completely shift. So I love that we're hearing about a completely radically different way to live that works. You're alive. You look fabulous. So obviously it's possible.
I lost weight. I don't need to eat that much anymore. So, you know, like, hey.
Exactly. And then these amazing people show up. And I think we maybe in the, when we're living a life that we're unhappy with, we're not actually seeing or aware of the amazing people around us. But when we're happier, I think we're just, we are more aware of them. And maybe that's where there's attraction and letting go. But it's like I think the people that maybe you've attracted all along that are wonderful, just are more present in your awareness circle. So I think that's a
beautiful. I also have fought my life with all those people that, you know, weren't really on my side. I've let go of those. I've let go of the people who wanted me for their own personal reasons, you know, to use me for. I've let go of all those people.
Yeah.
And they've been replaced by awesome people. Like,
yeah, that's great.
Awesome people.
So when you think about, because I know you left your life in Europe, you traveled a bit through Europe, you're now back in Zimbabwe. When you think about, you know, what's ahead for you in the immediate future, do you have any, is it go with the flow for now, or do you have any ideas of things that you want to happen in the near future?
Yeah, I'm very passionate about girls' education, you know, because I all the research shows that educating girls changes the socioeconomic conditions of a country. And let's face it, Africa really needs that. And girls are, you know, suffer with a tradition of, well, we choose the boy to educate rather than the girl. Girls ending up in child marriage, girls ending up in prostitution, trafficking, and a life of poverty, girls need to be educated. So I have, I started a few years ago, a very small nonprofit that I'm hoping, now that I'm on the ground here, I can grow and develop. Educating girls, and I have a very specific niche right at this moment, is I'm looking for high-performing girls who are in vulnerable positions or disadvantaged, and to me, they're the leaders of tomorrow. If we don't capture these bright minds now and put them through education, we will lose them. They'll be married, they'll have children, they'll be lost in that tradition and that system. And so that's my focus at the moment, is raising funds, raising awareness, connecting with people, finding ways that I can make this work better.
Beautiful.
And getting more girls into education.
I love it. Cool. So thinking about the people that are listening to this interview, you've already given some amazing insights, some amazing tips, but do you have anything else that you would offer as a tip to someone who's sort of like on the edge of the ledge that kind of wants to jump but thinks they can't?
I think it's so different for everybody. You know, I certainly know that my experience isn't the experience that a whole bunch of other people would take. I think that for me, the real trigger is, I have a couple of things that I say is, it's not the years in your life, but the life in your years. And when I was 58 and I looked at my life and I went, I'm coming up to 60. Do I really want to be living this life, this misery, this unhappiness for another 20 years, another 10 years, another 5 years? And my answer to myself was no, I don't. I really don't. And the price was that I would have to change and give up things and walk away, which wasn't as easy as I make it sound. But, you know, at the end of the day, the driver, the push for me was, do I want to continue to be unhappy and live a lesser life than the one that I have? And the other thing that I say is, life is on the other side of fear. So you can live with all the fears of, you know, my stuff, my this, my friends, my family, what everybody's going to say, and blah, 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 blah. You have one life, and you can live it in fear of what everybody else is thinking and saying, or you can just grab it and buy the whatever and just go with it.
I'm sorry, as you said, I'm thinking I was just on safari and I saw a lot of things that you could grab on. So, and when you think about the big five, they're quite big, so we've grabbed some big cookies.
Exactly. So you can grab the lion by the tail, or, you know, whatever.
But, yeah,
you know, just I don't know. For me, it was misery or try and see if I can make a happier life. And I found I had lost my joy before I started this journey. I lost my joy.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that I would ever feel it again. You know, I didn't know that I would ever be happy again. And mm-hmm. I can say that the joy that I have now isn't the joy of, you know, my youth or any of those sorts of things. You know, I think, but my joy is deeper and more fulfilling in many ways. You know, I don't expect big things. I take joy in seeing a tree that's flowering or seeing the stars and the Milky Way at night and children waving at me, even though they have no idea who I am.
Yes.
Somebody smiling. You know, those little things, they make me immensely happy. Joy.
Isn't it interesting? I have the same experience. How comfortable we get being unhappy, and we actually prioritize that comfort over our joy.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
We put up with miserable people who make us feel miserable. We put up with terrible places and horrible weather and horrible jobs where bosses are terrible and insulting to us and the pay is rubbish, the hours are bad. And somehow we think that that's okay, but letting go of all this stuff, that's not okay.
Totally agree. And it's as you've been talking about this and I'm reflecting on my own experience, it does occasionally just stupefy me, like how long I put up with unhappiness in many areas of my life and you know, how much of it I put up with. And it's just, now that I'm here, it's a very different life. And it's, I've given up a lot like you, but it's amazing to just have that, happiness in a day and end the day and be like, today was really happy. Wow. Like, it's just an amazing experience.
Yeah. And you know, maybe not every day is happy because, you know, shit happens, but
I have my credit cards stolen. I get it. Yep. They're not happy days every day.
Man, at least you got them stolen. I lost mine. I mean, how, you know, like two of them. I was like, oh God. Anyway, you know, stuff happens. And then I just go, oh, you damn. And then I like, okay, so what's the plan? You know, what's the plan? What's next? What am I doing to fix this? What's going on? Okay. You know, just move on.
Yeah.
Moving forward is the most important part. Standing still, anything that stands still decays and rots. You know, if you keep moving forward, at least you're in motion.
Yeah. So before we wrap up, any last comments or tips that you'd like to share with the audience?
Did I not do all of that?
You did. You've shared a lot. So you may have said everything you want to say. I just want to check in.
I think just decide. You know, I think the thing that keeps us from is the, oh yeah, what if, well, you know, I don't know. I would rather be living the life that I'm living now than the misery I was living before.
Love it. So Dot, for people that are listening, this has been, I've loved this interview. I feel like we have talked about some amazing topics and, really, I think made this journey sound like something that anyone can do, even though it's hard. So I'm wondering, for those that might want to reach out to you and ask you some more questions, what is the best way for people to contact you?
I'm on Facebook, but I have a Facebook page called at. So if you put in at Going Home to Africa, that's my Facebook page. I also have a website, goinghometoafrica.com.
Okay.
My girls fund is, if anybody's interested in helping or supporting or you know, contributing to the scholarships, is called Kusasa, KUSASA dot Africa is the website.
Great.
And I'm also on Facebook, same thing, at Kusasa, KUSASA dot Africa. And through any of those pages, you can reach out to me and I will answer. Provided I have signal and internet. I'm in Zimbabwe, you know, we're having lots of problems here.
Yes.
But I will, as soon as I possibly can, reach out to reply to people, anyone who writes to me, gladly.
Great, and thank you. I was going to ask you if you could share information about how people can donate. So sounds like an amazing endeavor. So thank you for sharing that, Dot. Thank you for your time. This has been just a really, really wonderful conversation. And I thank you for that and for sharing very deeply your experience and your tips. That's beautiful. And for anyone listening, again, this has been another episode of the Inspired Nomad. So hopefully you are feeling inspired right now. If you're listening and you realize you should be a guest on the show, I'd love to hear from you. You can apply to do that at www.interviewquestionnaire.com. You can also, we have a Facebook group, which I'm going to write both on the video here and also below the podcast in the podcast notes. But we have an Inspired Nomads Facebook page that we are trying to grow and reach you. I always love to hear from you. So if you are listening to this and just want to give a shout out, let me know questions you'd like me to ask future guests or feedback. You can reach me at heather@heathermarkell.com. And I hope that you will tune in for the next future episode of the Inspired Nomads. And until then, thank you so much for listening. Take care. Bye.
Thank you.